Headstuff Studios in Dublin. Welcome to Motherfucklore, a podcast about words. Irish. Irish words. And words from Ireland. I'm Dara O'Shea.
I'm Ala Majeko Dumi.
How you getting on, Ala?
I'm good, yeah. I'm just busy with my masters at the moment, but it's going to be exciting to talk about leaving, so, you know, thinking back
on
about
it. Yeah. Because I was just thinking, yeah, it's like to get to the master's level, and you think when you finish school that, you know, you think you're done, that's it, no more books.
But like, still at them.
Sorry about the prior. Less than a minute in, I'm already swearing. But the thing is, to get into college and to do as well as you've done, obviously there's a little hurdle we all have to hop over, and that is the leaving cert. Obviously, Mother Folklore isn't specifically an educational podcast, but to do talk about Irish and words, it'd be churlish not to ever mention the leaving. Yeah, you did the leaving a couple of years ago.
The leaving in 2014, and yeah, it doesn't feel that long ago, even though it kind of is. Like, I still remember. Like,
so you actually have a living memory of the leaving cert. What I remember is shocking. That's I think when I was doing the leaving, there was if there had been a strophic door, the picture of the T-shirt on it would have been John Bruton. Yeah, that's how long ago that was. Wow. But in order to guide us through what the Leaving Cert is now like, we have a teacher, a mentor, in with us, first time. And it's, thank you very much, Noreen.
Hello.
Noreen Ibaraku.
How are we?
We're wonderful. How are you getting on?
Good. Can't complain. Noreen, I'm on holidays.
Absolutely. Noreen, when you became a teacher, did you find yourself doing teachery things?
Yeah.
How quickly?
Well, both my parents are teachers and my older brother is, so I kind of just slipped into it. But just like I go shopping and I'm like, this would be great for teaching now. Or like I use my teacher voice all the time.
Oh.
Yeah.
And do your first people by their entire names?
No, I'm not that bad. I'm not that bad. Because I never learned the kids' surnames. I always learned their first names. But no, I like even talking to my friends, or my sister's the only one of us who isn't a teacher. And she's like, don't talk to me like that. I'm like, I'm sorry. So yeah, the teacher voice is a big thing that comes out of me. I'm just like, why are you doing this? I'm like, stop talking to me like that. So yeah, that is. And then the teacher clothes thing is a big thing.
Do you ever tell people that they won't get away with that in fifth year?
No, I never say that.
Oh, and in fifth year, you'll never get away with that in sixth year. Oh, you think it's hard now, lads? Lads, just wait.
No, my favourite thing is, I've done all my exams. This isn't for my benefit. And I hate it when my teacher said that to me.
Teacher bingo. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
When you were in school, did you think that you'd become a teacher one day?
Yeah. I always knew I was going to be an Irish teacher because my mom was an Irish teacher. So I was like, oh, I'll just do what she's doing.
Yeah.
So imaginative.
And did you always have that love for Irish
in school? Yeah. It just came from her, like, because she obviously had it. So.
See, for a lot of people, teaching is the family business, and it suits certain people, and the people go into it for different reasons. But then I think there is a point when, and I've seen this, say there's some jobs, and when you're all friends in college, you're having a laugh, and then within a year or two graduation, people start developing their career personalities.
Mm. Yeah,
and of course, some people happen straight out of the bat.
Yeah, that was me. Yeah.
Straight out. Were you already a bit of a teacher in school?
I was always a bit of a teacher. When I was in primary school, the other teacher was gone away. You go and mind the small lads now. I'm like, okay. It's always been there.
I think some people do naturally just have that instinct to be a teacher. Like, I think it comes something naturally, because I know personally, like, I don't really have the patience to teach people, I think. So yeah. I think it depends on the person, like.
I think so. I think maybe I would have been good at primary, but maybe not secondary. Teenagers and all their mopiness.
Yeah, I don't think I'd be good at primary. Like, I coached summer camps for years, and I always took like the 4, 5, and 6 year olds, and they're grand for like 4 hours a day for a week. And I'm like, nope, this is not for me. Nope, thank you very much. So I'll go back to my teenagers. It's fine.
And obviously, you're a young teacher.
Yes, I am.
Would you ever be getting a glass of ale at the weekend and spots from your students across the bar?
No, not really.
Of course, because your students are all excellent. They never go drinking.
Exactly. Yeah. We never go where the students go. They always tell me, they're like, oh, miss, we're going here at the weekend. I'm like, I'm not going there. That's great. Thank you for telling me.
It's good to know.
Yeah.
So the Leaving Cert is completely different from when I was doing it. Mm. And maybe one of the most obvious things that I can think of, that the immediate difference, is these cartoon strips that they have, these black and white. They're reminiscent of the Take On Me video by A-ha.
But they're called a throwback. Yes.
I believe they're called Strophic Tour.
Strophic Tour, yeah.
And so what's the crack with these? For explain it to the old people who you know might one day have to help a child with their homework.
So around end of September, early October of fifth year, 20 short pictures are released. So there's six pictures and they're depicting a different story. So you take like brooch or skull sick at school. And this girl is out at the weekend and then she feels sick and her mom doesn't believe her. So she goes to school, she has a test, and then she goes to the principal's office. The doctor comes, she has food poisoning, nivubia. So like it's just this little story and you have to give, say, minimum 3 to maximum 6 or 7 sentences about each picture to tell the story, what's going on. And then at the end, you ask the examiner 3 questions and the examiner asks you 3 questions.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so this is, and I've seen some of these. I've seen this one where some young ones foil bank robbery.
Oh yeah.
There's another one where a young one sets her house on fire by gets chips.
Yeah, she puts on chips and she comes home from her night out. Yeah.
There's another one about the economy, about like the economy.
There could be,
yeah. Yeah, I remember. I think I got that one, actually. And everyone hated that one. I actually kind of liked it.
There's one about climate change. That's really, really hard. And it has like all like the climate change vocab.
Oh, yeah.
So I remember that one's hard, yeah.
I think I tweeted that one recently. The Irish for climate change. Yeah.
You did. I saw it.
It'll come back to me.
Ahru Aroja.
Mm. Yeah, it's... Because there was a big controversy as to whether we should be saying climate change or the global warming. I think like a lot of people, I knew an owl lad at work who's like, oh, they used to call it global warming, now it's climate change. What will it be next? You know, and it's and the worst one is, if it's global warming, why are things getting colder? Like,
the classic line.
Yeah, literally.
Because I think, the person who coined the phrase climate change was Frank Luntz, who was one of the advisors to George W. Bush. And people thought, well, if that fella came up with the expression, it must be bad. So let's not be using it. And well, we're all arguing over the vocabulary. The world is melting.
Yeah. It's a topical issue at the moment because, you know, Mr. Trump doesn't believe in climate change. So,
Well, if that's the case, well, he seems to know what he's talking about. Anywho. So, So the Strasbourg tour is part of the oral examination, obviously. Yeah. And so the other part of the oral examination, I think, is the poetry.
Yeah, so you read one of your poems. So there's 5 poems in the course. Gavin, Magrosa, Kulskara, Antarakir, and Spalpeen Fonok. So you have to read one of those. So before you can prepare it as well as you like, you go in with your phonetics written out. So there's really no excuse for not getting nearly full marks on it. At least that's what I tell the students anyway. So like, but I think it's interesting because there's more marks going for reading the poem in the oral than there is for answering a question on the poem in the written paper. So to just put the time into practice and reading it is worthwhile.
I see. And there's an oral test as well, isn't there?
Yeah.
That's through the dreaded Leinn Sé Cormac.
Yeah. The Ulster Irish. Sorry. Anybody?
We do have, I suppose, Kathleen McKeever, who's one of our occasional contributors, is normally our champion for Ulster Irish, but she's not here.
Sorry.
So it's funny because it's quite different. I think there are some differences between Galway and Kerry and Cork Irish, and there certainly are, but I think it's far more noted.
Yeah, there's different vocabulary really as well.
Yeah, just the way they say things is so different. The only thing I'll say about it is usually the questions tend to be easier for that one, whereas the questions tend to be more difficult for like Munster Irish because it's easier to hear it. Theoretically, you're able to pick out the answers easier, but
Anton Bjug, who is another occasional visitor to the studio, he's from the Donegal Gaeltacht, and was saying that it's actually very hard for TG Gar or anyone else to make productions in Ulster Irish, particularly going up to Donegal. It costs so much to bring a crew up there, and there's no train to bring kind of heavier equipment, and so the production costs for making Irish language programming in Donegal are significantly higher than they would be for in Galway or Kerry, even Kerry.
Oh, wow.
Has led to, obviously they have the studio out in Salt Hill for TG Carr and obviously a large portion of Ulster Irish is in a different political jurisdiction. Well, we can't do anything with that for now.
But. Remember the TV show Shocked? It was not set in like Queen's University or something. It was definitely set.
I remember that show. Yeah,
Owen McDermott was in it. I loved it. I lived for that. It was like Hollyoaks in Irish. Don't show it to your students.
I loved Afric.
So did I.
We used to watch that in school. It was great. Yeah. I loved that.
Teenage Cakes is what I started watching recently. That is a throwback.
Africa is actually has held its own really well, mm-hmm. and it's I understand that Africa herself is a teacher in herself.
Yeah, she is. Oh, cool. Yeah.
It must be really disorientating to go into her class. And
see, yeah. So we'll just watch some Africa today. Yeah. Yes, that's you.
Now we're going to go. Obviously, there's a you can do so much, and we can prepare for the oral exams by talking in Irish. That's great, mm-hmm. and by listening to Irish. I was reading. I love Nose, and so obviously yeah. people write essay questions. Mm-hmm. I was reading an article about Nose about bicycles recently, and there was the journalist was writing it. She's referring to how much she enjoyed cycling, and she's talking about Exum oil, you know, down the kind of, and I was thinking, because on one level, you know, a prospective leaving cert student will be thinking, you know, this good Irish language journalism might give me a good example sentences yeah. to use in my mm. essay questions, and then you're faced with an Exum oil. Mm, if I Exum oil Ermore her, I might get be marked down.
Yeah, things like that, you know, would yeah.
So there is kind of a conflict between the way Irish is actually spoken by people who speak it at public Gaeltachts and in offices where Irish is spoken, and I guess the fact that it's an ongoing conflict that the way Irish is actually spoken tends to be a little bit loan word friendly, whereas the Irish mm. that is presented in an exam situation is like the English is presented in an exam situation, maybe overly formal.
Yeah, it's very kind of dependent on grammar. So say you take people who would have grown up in Gaeltacht areas, they're obviously fluent and they have no issue with that, but their grammar tends to fall down mm. a lot. And there is kind of that emphasis on grammar in the written exams, which is, I don't know, I suppose a lot of students wouldn't have it. Like, do you know, at the start of the summer when Oscar did the Unpopular Opinion Irish edition, I said that kids don't all come in with the same standard for primary school.
Yeah.
So it's very hard for us, but like, still it's very hard at primary school level. One of my friends is a primary teacher and he said there's still a huge jump from what they do in sixth class to first year.
Yeah.
So we expect them to come in with all this knowledge that they just don't have, and we just go straight into like poems and stories and they're just not able for it. And then like you say, take French or German, and they come in and they're like, oh, I know more French or German now, but it's because they're starting with the basics, starting with the easy things.
Yeah.
And they're learning those, whereas for us, we're not really giving them that, and they may not have come in with it.
Yeah, I found the transition from primary to secondary school was I just was not ready for the level yeah. of Irish at first. I was expected in first year, and it was hard enough. And but I suppose that's something ongoing. Well, I do think the battle is fought and won and lost at the primary school stage. Yeah. But at the same time, there are great opportunities for people to do with Irish can open so many doors, and maybe that's not always impressed upon students.
Yeah.
Say Irish has opened doors for you, Ola.
Yeah, like I was even going to say there, like even for me, like going to an all Irish primary school, I still had a lot to learn man school as well, like particularly in terms of the grammar, like there's so much more to learn. Like I noticed that I was making simple mistakes, and I obviously got over that eventually, especially when I got to like leaving cert time. Like my Irish was a lot more much better then. But like, yeah, as you were saying, like Irish opening doors, definitely it's so useful to have the language, of course, like culturally and in terms of like opportunities as well, and just opening doors in terms of like media as well, because that's mm-hmm. the field I want to get into. And you know, Irish language programming as well, like you know, TG Cahir, again, very small budget, and the programs they produce are phenomenal, you know, it's really good. And yeah, I think it's just so important for people to know that as well, that like Gaeilge can give you opportunities, because I feel like a lot of people think it can't.
So the actual, when you were doing the leaving cert, what was the book? What books did you have to read?
We had Fuentes. Yeah, yeah. My teacher actually wrote that book. So,
We still use Fuentes and Finnev.
Yeah. So, that was our core book. And
I have to say, being an Irish teacher in an all-Irish school must be, you know, hardcore.
Yeah.
Because I mean, obviously everyone's supposed to be a bit of an Irish teacher, and the Irish teacher is like the absolute alpha dog.
Yeah, yeah, literally. I think for us, even in our school, because it was all Irish school, I feel like the examiners definitely corrected us much harder, like definitely in terms of the grammar and everything. And like, there's definitely a lot more pressure on us to get it right. But like, yeah, I just remember like being in fifth year and sixth year, and I was like, I have to get that A in Irish. Like, I have to. Like, I'm in all Irish school. I have to get it. And I did at the end, but like, yeah, it was just, it was a lot of pressure, like, but like, you know, once you do it, that's it, and you don't have to really think about it anymore. you know, I got my 420 points or 430 points. Can't even remember anymore.
I think people generally forget after a while because it's, you know, it's not that important. Sorry. Okay. It's very important. It's the most important thing until you get to university, and then your first year exam is the most important thing. Yeah. But so the other text, obviously, before we went on, we were talking about how in some boys' schools they tend to do a Hignaut Dithiram, and in girls' schools they tend to do Antriúil.
Yeah, so I went to an all-girls school and we did Antriúil. And I suppose it just kind of looks at women's place in society and things. So I suppose that's why we did it. Whereas down the road was the all-boys school and they did a Hignaut Dithiram, and it does look at Mike Dunne O'Shea and his life. And I was starting grinds and I asked one of the teachers in school, like, oh, what text do you suggest I do? And she was like, oh, well, you know, whichever suits you. And she was like, is it a boy or a girl? I was like, it's a boy. And she was like, oh, well, then do a Hignaut Dithiram. And I don't personally know why it suits different genders better, but it's just kind of the way things are done. And say, again, I've grind students this year from an all boys school and they're doing Gaffa, which again is, it looks at a teenage boy as kind of one of the core characters. So I suppose just maybe relating to genders maybe, but... Mm.
It's interesting because I wonder, I mean, it's officially, you know, we don't like learn gender roles being shoved down people's throats, and it's absolutely not. But I wonder if pushing it that way has made any difference. I can't imagine that. I mean, I can't imagine that the lessons in Antriúil would be something that a boy shouldn't hear. Far from it.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Well, I'm in a mixed school now, and my last school was mixed and we did Antriúil as well. And I suppose it is just kind of, I suppose the year that was in it last year with the referendum and everything, and then just looking at gender roles and women's place in society during that time, and then kind of looking into that and talking about the way things were back then, like even the boys were like, oh, that's shit.
Yeah. Yeah,
poor women.
Yeah,
imagine that is something that every teacher has to deal with on one level. Because I remember there was when I was in school, during English class, someone was saying, you know, did Maud Gonne love W.B. Yeats, and you know, should a boy take that approach to wooing a girl? And you know, then on one level, a teacher saying, you know, I don't teach sex ed, I'm not teaching.
Yeah.
On one level, no, absolutely don't take the Yeats approach to wooing girls. Never take the Yeats approach. Run the other way. Don't do what W.B. does. But then, obviously, with the Irish language, there's going to be a subject matter where you think, well, this is going to lead to a discussion in class. On one level, I just want to teach, you know, Tishal Genadach here, and I just want to, you know, get that right. But on the level, the topics are inevitably deal with massive social issues.
Yeah, they do. They come up a lot. Like, take, for example, the poem Kullscar. It's about divorce, obviously, and all the kids are like, well, like, why did they get married if they didn't love each other? And I'm like, well, they did love each other and they thought it was going to be fine, but they just didn't spend enough time together. And I was kind of, you know, relating it back to like themselves and their teenagers. And I was like, you know, like you meet someone when you're young and you think, yeah, this is great, we're going to be together forever. And then as you grow older, your values and what you want out of life changes, and then you just change as people and it just doesn't work anymore. And that's what happened. Like, they wanted it to work and it just didn't. And that's the way things go. And they were like, oh, right, okay. And I'm like, this isn't going through to them. But, you know, you do kind of try and relate it back to them. Or like, McGraw-Sa is a great one. It's my favorite one because it's the only one that's happy. And it's like...
That's true, actually.
And it's like, yeah, she loves... Like, his eyes are too close together and his hair is like barbed wire and he's just not perfect and he's ugly, but she loves him for who he is. And they're like... Oh, miss, that's so mean. And I'm like, yeah, but that's real life. Like, you love someone for who they are, like, not just, you know, compares to like Shakespearean poems and how like everyone was beautiful. Mm. You're like, well, this is what real life is like, you know, not everybody is beautiful, but there are beautiful people. So you have to look at it that way as well.
Yeah. I feel like the range of topics in the Irish language syllabus for Leaving Cert is very good. You know, I feel like people usually think the Irish language is quite conservative, but like the syllabus shows that it's not.
Yeah.
You know, like even studying Antriúil, like the topics dealt with that story. Like for Leaving Cert students, it's really important. And like there's a lot in it. Like
there's a broad range in it.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually loved that play, like studying
it
in school.
A lot
of people don't. I don't understand why though, because I thought it was really good. It's obviously very sad, but it's very important to learn, you know, in terms of history as well.
Hi, this is Tara Flynn. I've got Taranoia. That's right. Paranoia with a T. I put the T in paranoia. Taranoia. That's the name of my new podcast about my own insecurities and fears and the lessons I've learned by being a big old pick. Big Egypt, but we're all Egypts and we're all only doing our best. So if you'd like to share some eejitry with me and hear some great guests every now and again, why not join me on the Head Stuff Podcast Network for Taranoia.
One of the things that wasn't available before, as some people, there is a curse. I see it in my university lecture friends will say this, that there's people have written essays, stuck them online, or are selling kind of standard answers to things. And is this a big problem? People, I guess, are kind of the clip notes approach to certain questions and the stock answers. And is this something you warn people against?
No, I wouldn't say it's a problem. I think there are some great resources online for essays and stuff, and like there's some teachers who provide like really, really good notes and stuff, so I wouldn't say it's an issue. I do think, like, just the way teenagers are, you can prepare them as much as you want, but like I gave my 6 years last year an essay on Bliain na Gaeilge. I was like, it's Bliain na Gaeilge, it's gonna come up. And then I was like, oh yeah, I was talking to them after. I was like, oh, Bliain na Gaeilge come up. Yeah, I didn't learn that though. And I'm like, well, okay. There's only so much I can do for you. Like, so yeah. I don't think that's an issue. And I suppose when I did my Leaving Cert, I went away and looked up things, and I think it does prepare them for university more. And I think students can be quite spoon fed. Mm-hmm. And I think if they go away and look it up themselves, great. Perfect. They need to be doing things like that.
Yeah.
Speaking of Bliain na Gaeilge, actually, like, how's that been for your students? Like, has it had much impact? Or
I suppose it has a bit. Like, the Bliain na Gaeilge in my school is actually quite good, and we have like Circle Cora every week anyway, and then we do a lot of things for Seacht na Gaeilge, and we have like a Balla Gaeilge, and like all the Irish rooms are covered in posters and stuff. So I suppose it is just kind of building on what we normally do. And then we have a few other teachers who would have like good Irish, and like they all play trad. So we have like not Cayley sessions, like trad sessions during Seacht na Gaeilge and things like that. And then like, because Ceol came out and everybody got Ceol. So we all played Ceol, and like we had a show Talna for our first year. So they all learned a song, and my TYs learned a song. And it was just things like that that we kind of would have been doing anyway, not necessarily because it's Bliain na Gaeilge, we just tend to do anyway, which I think is nice.
Yeah, that really brings me back, actually. I remember when we did the Eurovision, and like we had to translate songs into Irish, like Triller. I remember we did that, my class did that in first year, and it was just amazing. Like, we all dressed up, and like we had our dance moves and like singing and everything. It was so cool. Like, so it's great, like, you get that opportunity to do things through Irish as well. Like,
didn't Ed Sheeran sing one of the songs in Irish?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
And did he use kind of an Ulster Irish dialect, or is he just pronouncing it, I guess, daringly? It's hard. It's a brave effort. We're not gonna slag his pronunciation.
Mm. That's actually in one of the first year Irish books.
Is it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, Ex Mina Bo Sord.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah, because the new junior cert is you have to study like a certain number of texts, and songs are part of it as well. So that's in one of the books.
That sounds really fun.
Yeah.
Wish I had that.
So in terms of like, obviously people who are doing the Leaving Cert next year will have to write some essays, and who knows what kind of topics come up. There's some sort of things that you think, there's some themes that you might think you can attribute to any sort of question, but what advice do you give someone for preparing for next June?
October, November, September is kind of when the exam papers are written. So stuff that's in the news now will come up. So I suppose the housing crisis is something that's really a male and fubble. So like that could be an essay, and then Canary na Tíre, like politics. And then I'd say Uachtaráin Héireann probably come up as a reading comprehension more so than an essay. And then the girl whose points were added up wrong, I just feel like that's going to be there somewhere, and I don't know where. And I don't know if it'll be like a reading comprehension, or if maybe like on Cora Sadakis she'll come up in an essay or something. But I just feel like that's going to be somewhere. In some exam, somewhere, that's going to come up. If it's English or whatever, it's going to be there somewhere. So yeah, now's the time to look at the news for those kind of things, to see what's happening. And that's where like essay titles and stuff. Like Bliain na Gaeilge was this year, so it came up like in 2016, 1916 came up. Like they try to be like, oh, we're not very obvious, but sometimes they are very obvious. So
obvious in hindsight.
Yeah. Mm. Well, yeah, I suppose. In hindsight, yeah.
There was a comprehension, I think, on Sinead Burke. I wasn't sure if it was in the junior cert or Leaving Cert, and she had been a guest on the show a while back.
Oh yeah,
because
she
had got Dina Bjelgen added to the folklore.
Yeah, I remember that episode actually. Yeah,
it was great to have her. If people were just looking for good examples of well-written Irish. Obviously, I've mentioned Nose.ie already. There are other ones, that other online resources that maybe students could dip into.
Yeah, Nose, Tuarisg. Tuarisg have an app, actually, which is very handy. Then, like, the supplements that come in the paper actually can be quite good as well. And then just like watching TG Carr is good for just picking things up. Like, I always tell the kids about this. When I was doing my Leaving Cert, I used to watch Ross Noreen while I was doing my homework, and my copies are full of just new words just written in the margins, which makes me sound like such a nerd. But, like, literally just new words all over the place. And it is like, that is how you pick things up, whether you want to do that or not. That is how you pick them up, like just reading, watching, listening. So they do need to do it.
Excellent. Yeah. Those are things we're doing. Before we wrap up, do you have a favourite and a least favourite Irish word?
I've actually been thinking about this question since I started listening to this podcast. And my mother is going to kill me, but my favourite Irish like phrase is like Bula Kraken.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just love it. I don't know why. I just think it sounds so great for what it is.
It is.
But it is just my favourite phrase. My mom's going to kill me when she hears this. Sorry,
yeah, it's a great phrase.
It is.
Do you have a least favourite one?
I don't think I do have a least favourite one, actually. No, I enjoy them all. I just think it's a really nice language, the way words come from it. So I don't think I have a least favourite one.
And do you think it's wise for students to just avoid using the Mokinilic by just being incredibly definitive at all their answers?
No. Answer what you're asked. The answer is not always Tor Neil. Answer what you're asked.
Great stuff. Noreen Berkey, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So it's a salon for me.
A salon for me.
A salon for me.
Catch you next time. Hey, Derek here. Some good news. Headstuff have 3 signed copies of Crack Baby, Dispatches from a Rising Language, to give away. This is my new book, and it's a sequel to my first one, Motherfucklore, Dispatches from a Not-So-Dead Language. And while the first one was really more about my relationship with my dad, this is more about my relationship with my daughter and Irish words based on that. All you gotta do is tweet with the hashtag crackbaby, C-R-A-I-C-B-A-B-Y, and tell us your favorite Irish word that you learned from the podcast. So you tweet the Irish word you liked that you learned from listening to this podcast. You mention which episode it was in, and we will include you in a draw. There are 3 signed hardback copies of the first edition, and you could have one of them. So the hashtag is C-R-A-I-C-B-A-B-Y. Crack Baby, Dispatches from a Rising Language. It's published by Head of Zeus, and it's available in bookshops right now in Ireland and the UK.
This has been a production of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Speak into the microphone.